We're in Judges, the third chapter. We'll start at verse number 7. We talked a little bit about Sunday, about the children of Israel in the third chapter there, the first part. Anybody remember? We're in school, yeah. Yeah. Yes, you amazing.
We were talking about the fact that the people, every time that a judge died, then they would digress and they would go and serve idols and paganism of the people around about them. And the fact that they would finally they would be able to take it.
Okay. That's correct. And we also had talked about that we're probably in the second generation of that's come out of Egypt. And basically, they really don't know about God. And he had given them some commandments, and because he had promised that they'll come into the promised land. And but there were some things that God needed to do. God got them there to the promised land, and there were some things that they were supposed to do, and they just didn't do them. And the very first one we talked about, you know, they were to go in utterly to kill the heathens that were in the land, in the promised land. They had reached the point is that they were just evil. And so that's the reason he wanted to destroy them, because he doesn't want them to affect the children of Israel. Excuse me, my voice is weak tonight. And so he told them, you utterly kill them so that they won't influence you. And he had told them, or said, this is probably, well, not probably, but this is what will happen. If God says it so, it will happen. That they will not utterly kill them, and that they would serve the gods, the foreign gods, and they would be intermarried there. And they did the exact same thing with that. And then they got in trouble, and the judges come along, and they were supposed to help them to lead them back to God. That's what the purpose of the judges were. They were going to be most likely spiritually minded, and to help them to see, understand about God, and most likely too. Military leaders are leaders that can fight in war. Is there any other questions or comments before we begin? All right, if not, we'll start with verse 7. Verse 7, Judges, the third chapter, it says, so the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and Asherah. Therefore, verse 8, therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel who delivered them. Othniel, the son of Kenaz, which is Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim. So the land had rest for 40 years. Then Neil, the son of Kenzah, died. Go back to verse 7. It says, so the children of Israel did evil. That's what we've been talking about since we started Judges, how they had become evil in their ways. And he says, what's so bad? They forgot the Lord their God. They just literally says, you forgot me, Lord. Tell them, he said, you forgot me. But you're still serving foreign gods. And they served the Baals and Asherahs. It means they did not practice God's kind of war. We had talked about that. They disobeyed the commandments, live among the nations, served the Baals and Asherah as well as other gods, and intermarried with the people of the nations. The false gods here appear in the plural, indicating that the Canaanites had multiple shrines to these false gods. See, these are the things that caused the Lord when we begin verse 8, he become angry against them. And this means the reason why, because they did evil. They did the opposite of what the Lord had told them to do. It says in verse 8, it says, therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He was not only angry, he was really hot against Israel. They were not obeying his commandments. He gave them commandments to do. Now, just like we have commandments we are to obey. And if we don't obey them, the Lord's going to be angry with us. And if we do evil in his sight, he's talking about, his anger is going to be hot. And this is what he did, though. The Lord, he sold them into the hand of Cushan. I just say Cushan. I don't go through all that again. The king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan 8 years. Now they served. They were servants. They were slaves to Cushan, the king of Mesopotamia, for 8 years. This was their punishment. Yeah. For not obeying God and being evil in his sight. And the Lord became angry with them and said, okay, I'm going to sell you. God's hand is still in this world. And let's don't forget it. When we study the Old Testament, we're seeing God in action. When he tells you to do something or other, he expects it. When he gives us a commandment, he expects us to obey him. And if we don't, he's going to become angry with us. Everybody preaches, you read everything about God is love. Well, God is love. He is merciful. He has shown grace to them with it. And he's shown grace to them now. But, you know, they served these foreign gods, and they forgot him and served these foreign gods. And so it says, here's your reward, or this is what your punishment is going to be. You're going to become a servant or slave to the king of Mesopotamia. And that's what happened to them. He sold them down there. Then in verse 9, go down. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel who delivered them, Othniel, the son of Kadesh, Caleb's younger brother. Now, when the children of Israel cried to the Lord, The plea came out of grief over their oppression and not their unfaithfulness to God. You know, from the standpoint here, they were slaves, they were servants, and they were oppressed. And they cried out to the Lord because of the oppression. We're not calling you, Lord, and tell you that we've been unfaithful. That's not our plea. We're looking for you from aid to assist us because we're being oppressed. Yes, we've been unfaithful, but now what the reason we're calling is our oppression. We're being tormented here. It was a call for help, not a confession of sin or a pledge of repentance. You notice that? Not one time do you see anything with that. That they cry out to the Lord and says, please forgive us. We have sinned. No. Lord, help us. We need help. We're in torment. We're in pain. We're slaves. And we don't like it. We don't care anything about it. Well, the Lord listens and He hears them. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer. Now, the Lord raised up. He didn't ask them for, all right, you guys pick somebody that's going to be a deliverer. You just tell me who it is, and we'll help them out. No, the Lord picked them out. The Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel. Now, who delivered them? Why? Because they had the hand of the Lord or the power of the Lord. See what you can do with the power of the Lord? If you have the hand of the Lord with you. And that's for you and I today. That's what we are here for, is to learn from their mistakes, what they did, the errors they made. And He kept on making them. Well, are we not doing the same thing today? Are we not repeating ourselves over and over again? And then we call to the Lord, but we don't say anything about our faithfulness or, Lord, please forgive us because we have sinned. No, we act just like they do. So, mankind throughout the ages, we haven't learned anything. It seems that way. And I'm sorry to say that. And it seems like it's getting worse. Now, how bad it can be? You got something, man? Yeah. Excuse me.
It's funny, they forget about Him until they get in trouble.
Yeah. Hey, remember Him then. You know, when the judge comes along and takes them out, and they're taken out of the bondage, what did they do? For a time being, just for a time being, they are serving the Lord. But then they go right back in their way. Prosperity, they cannot handle prosperity. And that's what happens. People around you can't hear. I said people around you cannot hear you. Can you hear that? Yes.
About those that oppressed them.
Mm-hmm. And that was the Lord's grace upon that. Somebody else has something else?
Yeah, it seems like while Oakdale was alive, that, you know, they had 4 years of rest there.
Yeah.
You know, so, and he judged them. So they were kept in the, more or less in a straight and narrow by his leadership.
Mm-hmm.
But once he died, story over, here we go again.
That's right. And it, and like I've been telling you, one generation is all it takes for them to forget. One generation.
But do you think that maybe Oakville, I mean, you know, actually while he was judging them and all like that, you know, he was keeping the enemy subdued, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And while the enemy was subdued, you know, they didn't have that influence. But once he was out of the way, then there was no judge or leader there. So the company that they left, their enemies, the people that they were intermarried with and living among, rose up and took advantage of that to persuade them.
Yeah. It's like I said, it just takes one generation for them to forget. But the thing is, too, is that once you open the door, you can't say no no more. And this is what happens to them. How many times do we say that, you know, they recently wanted kings because they want to be like other nations? Okay?
Yeah.
But you and I, a Christian now, should be different. We should be different from the world.
We have a king too.
And we fail miserably at it. It seems like the last 40 or 50 years. I know, but it seemed like last 40, 50 years, look what the church has gone to or been through. And we have not withstand it. We let somebody come in and they can disrupt the whole congregation. You got to be careful about this. Yeah, if we go on down to verse 10, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, Othniel. All right. So what did he do with that Spirit, though? If they say so good while he was alive, didn't think about that, and these other judges, what did they do? What effect did they have upon the other people? The Spirit of the Lord was upon them. Now, you and I have the Spirit of the Lord all the time. Do we know it? Do we read it? Do we read it? Do we study it? Do we live the example of it? And for some reason, they did. And that shows you godly life can be had upon this earth. Because these people lived it. You look at the judges. You look at Joshua. You look at these people here. You go back to Moses and Abraham. They were faithful. So we can live godly lives, but we don't. We can live, say, well, I can live a godly life 90% of the time. No, it's not going to work. 80%, no, it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. You cannot keep up with it. You're going to keep on that 9%, go down to 80%, then you go down to 70%, because once you open that door, it's going to get worse and worse and worse, because you're going to let more things in into your lives that are evil. You think they came in with all this stuff? They had a good attitude when they came in. But what? They run into some obstacles. They couldn't kill everybody, they said. Couldn't do it. So what they do? They said, well, we'll just live with them. They can live up there and we'll live down here. All right. Well, up there comes down here. Down here goes up there. You intermarried between them. What do you think is going to happen? They're serving a foreign god. Oh, I can withstand that. I'm not going to fall for that. They did.
The thing I was thinking about was the mention of Caleb. The fact that, you know, Caleb and his father, both of them, have an influence upon both of them. We can have influences, even in the worst of cases, upon the children there that we're around.
Yes.
To raise up.
Yes.
Someone.
And like I said, that generation that's not taught God. And they don't see it a lot of times. They don't see it at home for practice. And there's just little things that happens. But they're major because you're losing your children. Then they have, their children have children. And they don't even know who God is. And this is what happens. Oh, we don't have to come to church every Sunday. That's just a habit to do that. We just pick out when we feel like it, we'll go. You need to be here. The reason you need to be here is to be strengthened. And you to strengthen the other people too. To enlighten them. It's a chore sometimes, yeah. You have to come Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. Sometimes God, you got the gospel meeting things. We got busy lives or anything like that. But it's a pleasure. That's the way to look at it. You get to listen to God's word. That's the time for it. You can just take time out and listen to it, bros. Mm-hmm.
So it's we need to be working on our hearts to have a more positive attitude at the opportunities that we have.
Mm-hmm. Actually, what you should be looking forward to is you look for the Lord's Day, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. I know they're trying to cut it down to everybody that will be here Sunday morning. We meet extra time or something like that, and so you can have the rest of the day off. And I can understand that, but it's not what I would be looking for. Then Wednesday night, yeah. Sometimes, you know, it's cold outside. It's dark outside. Sometimes it's raining or whatever. It's miserable. And you do have to think about this. Us older people need to think about our health and stuff like this. But the older people are the one that comes. They understand what it is to listen to God's word. Sit at the feet. You know, there's certain images that sticks with you. And one is a picture of a bird inside of a little rock there, cut out of a rock. And you can see the bird inside and like that, but outside the wind is blowing, horrible rain. It's just a miserable day. But the bird was just happy as could be inside a rock. Didn't have a care in the world. Just go on with it. He enjoyed it. And I remember my grandfather couldn't hear, couldn't hardly see. This is a Clark. That's where we get all this stuff from. Sitting there in the chair there by the old lamp, magnifying glass, reading his Bible. It's an out of time. It sticks in your mind. You see it. With it. He got great enjoyment out of doing that. But it was a struggle for him to do it. But, you know, you need to do it. Because it's not a struggle. It's a pleasure. It's a good thing to have. God's Word. If you got a problem, you got the answer right in front of you. You just got to get your Bible out and start looking. You'll find it, the answer to it. And the children of Israel didn't have it, but they had the judges. And the judges was teaching them. But what the problem was that nobody stood up when the judges died. They just did not stand up. They didn't go against anybody else. And he, like I said, evil sin started creeping in. And we just let it come in. That's what had happened to them. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, verse 10, and he judged Israel. I understood. This is the judge here at Orphanel comes in, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He had the Spirit of the Lord, and he judged Israel. He came in and he stood up and said, no, we can't do that. That's not right. The Lord doesn't want us to do that. See those old temples out there? The ones that have been destroyed? That's what you should have done, or your father should have done beforehand. And this is what you need to keep on doing. He went out to war. Okay? What kind of war did he do? He fighting for God and his commandments. He didn't want the adulterers and the idol worshippers to come in. He didn't want you to intermarry. And so what happened? The Lord delivered Cushan, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, into the hand of the judge. And his hand prevailed over Cushan. Because he's got the Lord. He's got the power on his side. So the land had rest for 40 years, then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. 40 years the land rested. The foreign land rested. Okay? Well, what happened then? Verse 12. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. 40 years. What did you learn in those 40 years? We learned how to do evil. So the Lord gave strength to Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel. Because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Evil in the sight of the Lord, you're going to lose every time. You might as well face it. You're going to lose. Then he gathered to himself the people Ammon and Amalek, went and defeated Israel and took possession of the city of Pon. The chapter opens up with the distressing story of Israel's disobedience. As it continually reports little or no progress by Israel towards obedience. In response, the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel. And you saw where the Amalekites were old enemies of Israel. Remember, they had met them in the wilderness. They had attacked them. But Eglon made a military alliance with Ammon and Amalek and defeated Israel and also took the city of Palms, which is most likely Jericho, from most of my readings and study. It's in that area. And so if you're looking for a city, it probably was Jericho. So he had gathered now, and the Lord had strengthened him. The Lord strengthened the enemy against Israel. Okay? Because the Israel did evil. So the children of Israel serve Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years. After the oppression of 8 years by the king of Mesopotamia, and after the 4 years of rest, the children of Israel served King Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years. You had now, they had been enslaved in bondage for 8 years. And now, what happens? 18 years. They served. They became slaves. They were servants of the king of Moab. And Moab should have been gone. All these other ones should have been gone. Because remember, we had studied the nations, the heathen nations that were left. God was testing them to see what he was going to do. The children of Israel. And the children of Israel did evil. Did the opposite of what God had told them to do. They didn't know anything about his war. They weren't going to do it. They weren't going to fight for the Lord. Let me tell you, if you're going to be on one side, you be on the remnant side of the Lord, you'll win. That's all you have to remember. There's two servants, God or the devil. If you're on God's side, you're going to win. And don't be like the children of Israel, where they suffered hardship on this land because they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he gave them the judgments they needed. We'll begin with verse 15 come Sunday morning. Thank you very much.